Truly, we're thankful to the God of heaven who continues to do all things well, and that he hath once again lengthened out the brittle threads of our physical lives and have caused our golden moments just to roll on a little bit further. And because of that, we are eternally grateful. Truly, we are thankful again to God for allowing us another privilege of coming together to study God's holy and divine word. We are truly delighted to have this opportunity to come to the Arlington Church of Christ for this gospel meeting. I want to thank my good friend and brother, Brother Justin Reed, and to the elders of this congregation and to those who had the opportunity and the responsibility of planning this gospel effort. We are truly thankful to all who have come to be with us on this Lord's Day morning. Especially we're thankful for the sisters from Browntown. They're here. It's good to see them, good to have them, as well as others that have come. And I'm quite sure that there will be others that will be coming. I appreciate so very much being advertised throughout this city, I understand. Amen. People was calling and telling me that they had seen me and then my picture was in the mail and so forth. I guess I made their day. They didn't throw that part of the mail away. I'm glad they did not. But we're just glad to be here. We certainly bring you greetings from the Hart Street Church of Christ, where we began our laboring with that church on last Sunday. And we started after 17 years with the church in Lynchburg at Elm Street, where I had been even as a child. I had gone there, but certainly the opportunity presented itself at the Hart Street Church, and we're just delighted that they have accepted me to come there. And we had a wonderful time last Sunday for our first service, and they allowed me to come here today, realizing that we already had this scheduled before we took that position. But we're just glad to be here in the city of McMinnville area to be a part of this gospel meeting. And we just hope, trust, and pray that when we leave here, we can truly say that it was good for us to have been here. Please be turning your Bibles with us to the gospel according to Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew's gospel chapter number 7. It's good to have my wife Kelly here this morning with me. As always, certainly a source of strength and encouragement to me. Appreciate that so very much. But from Matthew chapter 7, let's look at verses 13 and 14. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. For those that may be viewing by live stream, we welcome you as well. And we hope, trust, and pray that those things that we say might have an impact upon your heart as well. Jesus said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." And most of our reading will be coming from the King James Version, so that's the reading from our text this morning. The subject simply entitled, "There is Just One Way." There is just one way. There's a song that talks about this particular lesson. There is just one way to the pearly gate. In other words, there's only one way to heaven. Several weeks ago, I had the opportunity to speak in a gospel meeting at the Ross Church of Christ in Tullahoma. And my theme or my subject on that night was, "Is Christ the only way?" And certainly there's an affirmative, yes, he is. But there's only one way, brothers and sisters, that we can make heaven our home. It is the utmost desire of every person, even in this audience, to enter heaven when Jesus comes. I trust that all of us are trying to do just that. But yet many are seeking, as you know, to enter the pearly gate of heaven by many different ways. And these ways, brothers and sisters and friends, are fabricated in the minds of men. The song, "There Is Just One Way to the Gate," it echoes the sentiments of the New Testament teachings regarding the way to heaven. And it is man's responsibility to weed through the inventions and the deceptions that arrive at the path that leads to the gate. As we just read from our text a moment ago, that there are many that will go the broad way. The broad way is a way that leads to destruction. And if those who want to make heaven their home, if you want to make heaven your home, you're going to have to travel that straight or that narrow way. What lessons this morning can we learn from this subject? There's just one way. I know we're on a time schedule, so we're going to do our best to speak up and shut up so we can sit down. But I want you to bear with me. First, we need to understand that the path to the pearly gate is straight. S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T, that's straight, but I'm talking about the other straight as well, S-T-R-A-I-T. Men are constantly trying to alter, and they're trying to improve upon the things that are already divine that we have from God's Word. This is seen by the presence of hundreds of ways of salvation unto which multitudes of people have submitted. But yet I stop to tell you this morning, brothers and sisters and friends, that man is incapable of manufacturing a successful way to heaven. Oh yes, apart from God's direction. How do you know, Brother Whitaker? Well, the Bible tells us over there in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 12 that there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. As I said, man is incapable of manufacturing a successful way himself. Jeremiah said it like this in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse number 23. Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own step. Man cannot direct his own step. That's why we have to have someone else, someone higher than man. Amen? The wisdom of men have deceived many into thinking this morning that there are many paths to the gate. Despite Jesus' declaration that the way is straight and narrow. Oh yes, the many paths are invented by men only to mislead the ignorant, only to deceive those that really don't understand. And as an end result of the broad way, you know what it is? It is destruction. But only by entering the straight gate, that's the S-T-R-A-I-T way, can one find access to heaven. The word straight, it refers to an exact or an accurate or a restricted, precise course. That's the course that we have to travel on. The life of one entering through the straight gate is controlled by the teachings of Jesus Christ. Oh, Jesus left us an example that we should follow in his steps. And he left us that example that will enable us to overcome in our time of temptation. If we allow the principles that guided his life to be our guide. So that's why I'm thankful this morning that I can make heaven my home if I follow the way of Jesus Christ. Oh yes, and we need to understand, secondly, this morning, that heaven is God's abode. Brother Justin, and only he can reveal the way that sinful man can enter into that blissful place. Heaven is where God is. How do you know, brother preacher? Go to the book of Acts, the 7th chapter. The book of Acts, the 7th chapter. And look at verses 48 and 49. I believe in following the book, giving you script and not a lot of lip. Is that all right? That way you can find it for yourself. The Bible says in Acts chapter 7 and verse 48, howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands. And in your Bible, as saith the prophet, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? All my friends, we find, have not my hands made all these things? Verse number 50. My point is simply this. The ways and thoughts of God are too high for man to figure out by reason or by wisdom. That's why Isaiah could say in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. What are you saying? I'm saying simply that God is, his ways are much higher than our ways. His thoughts are much higher than our thoughts. The words of the Apostle Paul ought to be echoed by all denouncing worldly wisdom as inadequate in making one right with God. What are you saying? Go with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. And let's look at verses 1 through 5. The Apostle Paul said these words in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. He said these words, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech nor wisdom. He said, declaring unto you the testimony of God. He said in verse 2, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Is that all right? And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And look at verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I trust that you understand what Paul is trying to get us to understand. He is letting us know that the words of men and the lives of men are totally different than that of God. And those of us who have committed our lives to teaching men and women, those of us who are gospel preachers, those of us who are elders, those who may be teachers of the Bible, we ought to exercise care and caution that at the end result of our teaching, we will be rewarded a home in heaven. It will be heaven or hell. We have to make that decision. But hopefully, if we have lived according to God's word, that we can make heaven our home. See, Jesus already told us in Matthew 7 and verse 15, you got to beware of false prophets, which cometh to you how in sheep's clothing. But inwardly, he said, they're ravening wolves. Oh, yeah, you got to be careful. And he lets us know in verse 16, by their fruits, what will happen, Brother Whitaker? You will know them. So we ought to know a false teacher, a false preacher, by their fruit, what they are carrying. Over there in 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 1, I like what John said. He said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit, whether they're of God. Am I right about it? We got to try the spirit. We got to test it. We got to prove it. That's all he's telling us to do. And then in John, 2 John 9 to 11, John went on to say, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. But he that abided in the doctrine of Christ, he had both the Father and the Son. And if any come and bring not this doctrine, oh, he said, don't encourage him in his evil work. Don't bid him Godspeed, because if you bid him Godspeed, what are you going to do? You're going to encourage him in his evil work. We can't do that. The world and time is at an essence now, Brother Justin, that we don't have time to be playing with the Word of God. We've got to understand folk are dying. Every time you turn around, folk are dying. Go by the funeral homes on any given day and you'll see people there. Why? Because folk are dying. And so many are dying without Christ. As the brother prayed a moment ago, we need to make sure that we reach these before it's everlasting and eternally too late. See, the way to the gate, it must be divine. It must be divine in origin, since no mere human being has been to heaven to inform us of how to enter it. We need to understand that neither Boniface III or Martin Luther or John Calvin or John Smith or John Wesley or Joseph Smith or any other person has been given permission to design a way to heaven that God will honor. None of these individuals have done that. I recall over there in Galatians, the chapter is 1. I hear the Apostle Paul saying these words. In Galatians, the chapter is 1. Look at verses 6 and following. Paul says, I marvel, or in other words, I'm surprised that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. And then he goes on to say, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men? Paul is talking. Or do I now persuade God? If I do seek to please men, for if I yet please men, notice what he said, I should not be the servant of Christ. Oh, brothers and sisters, we need to understand this morning that the ways of men are useless. Amen. They're useless. The ways of men, they're dangerous. Yes, I know that people will tell you, Brother Chris, you go your way and I'll go mine and we'll end up at the same place. I wish that was true, but it's not. The ways of men are useless and dangerous, and should not be followed in an attempt to get to heaven. Feelings, traditions, good works, or following the majority in determining the route to heaven, these are all insufficient and they're vain. How do you know? Jesus said it like this in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7 again. Look at verse number 21. After he had talked about the trees, after he had talked about good trees bringing forth good fruit, bad trees bringing forth evil fruit, he went on to say, wherefore by their fruits you'll know them in verse 20. But then he said, not everyone in verse 21 that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But it is he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name have we not done many wonderful works? And in thy name have we not cast out demons or devils? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. Oh, brothers and sisters, he said, therefore, whosoever hear these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock. He said, and the rain descended and the floods came and the wind blew and it beat upon that house. And guess what? It fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. But when he went on to say, church, that whosoever shall hear these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the wind blew rains came and it beat up, and the wind, they beat upon that house and it fell, and great was the fall of it. I stopped to tell you this morning, brothers and sisters and friends, that feelings, traditions, good words, all of these things, when we follow them, they will only lead to destruction. And since the purpose of Jesus' descension from heaven was to provide abundant life for man, it is wise to go to Him alone in our attempt to enter the gates. We need to understand. Jesus said it like this in John 14 and verse 6, I'm the way. Y'all remember Him saying that? I'm the truth, I'm the life, and no man can come to the Father except by Me. Oh yes. John 10 and 10, Jesus lets us know that He's the door. And if any man want to enter, he's got to go in through that door. His door. He's the only source this morning. That's Jesus. He's the only source of eternal life. And every recipient of salvation will be indebted to Him as the way by which entrance into the gate was obtained. And then I want you to understand, third and finally, we need to understand that any attempt to enter the gate by another way will only result in failure. So we've got to understand, we just can't go our way. Many are misled into believing that there are many roads. There are many paths. Many ways to heaven. I start to tell you on this beautiful morning that there's not but one way. And our job as members of the Lord's church is to encourage people to seek God's word. To go to the Bible and find that way. Oh yes. This is evidence, Brother Whitaker, how? By all of the many denominations that we see throughout the world. As I often tell people, brethren, you know, so many churches around, it's about like old McDonald's farm. Y'all remember the old song? Old McDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O, you know. But it's like this today. There's a church here, and a church there. Here a church, there a church. Everywhere a church. No. One of the sins of denominationalism is that it offers a way to heaven that He cannot provide. That's why I believe it was Peter who lets us know in Acts, the fourth chapter. Acts chapter number 4. And look at verses 11 and 12. Acts chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. I hear the Peter saying, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That in your Bible. If it's not, it's because you probably cut it out. But it should be in the Bible. Jesus authorized the gospel to be the means of salvation for every person. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Mark 16, 15 and 16. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16. These are the marching orders from the King. He's already given them to us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned or condemned. And all who obey the gospel will be added by the Lord to the church. The church that Jesus died for and paid for with His own blood. According to Acts 2 verses 36 through 38 and also 41 through 47. Mark 16, 18 and 19. Or Matthew 16, 18 and 19. The church was purchased by Christ. Yes, it was purchased by Christ. And it's His only bride. How do you know? Acts 20 and verse 28. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 and following. Paul parallels the relationship of the husband and wife with Christ and His church. his church. According to Ephesians 5:23-27, he lets us know, especially at verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also did what? Love the church. And gave himself for it, that he might sanctify, that he might cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. It is the only body of which one can be a member of and be saved in. Amen. I know a lot of folks don't like to hear that, but it's the only one that you and I can be saved in. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. Christ is the head of the body, the church. He's the Savior of the body, we looked at in Ephesians 5:27 and following. Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 6 lets us know there is one body, one spirit. Even as you're called in the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. Therefore, denominationalism is the devil's attempt to mislead the masses under the disguise of religion. And as we come to our close this morning, I want to let you know that there is just one way to the gate. There's not a multiplicity of ways. You can't go your way and I go my way. You can't do your thing here and then expect to get God's blessing, to receive his blessing when you get up there. It doesn't work like that. There are many ways by which people are seeking to enter into the pearly gate, all of which will be unsuccessful if they differ from the only way, the one way given by the Lord. See, Jesus, he prayed for unity. Y'all remember that, don't you? Prayed for unity among all of the believers over there in John chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. And based upon the revealed word that he gave to his apostles, he wanted them to be one, just as he and his Father were one. He wants us to be one. He wants this community to be one. Apostle pleaded with the church to maintain that unity by speaking the same thing. And that's how we get to be the same, by speaking the same thing. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 13, we've got to speak the same thing, that there be no division among us. Many people, they allow stubbornness. They allow pride to hinder them from leaving the errors of denominationalism and to come to Jesus and become members of the body of Christ. But I encourage you this morning, don't put off. If you know that you're in religious error, why not denounce that? And then to decide, I'm going to obey Christ. Because I've already read through the word where he's the way. I already have read where he's the only way. I heard where he's coming back for his church. And I encourage you to think seriously about that. If you're here this morning, not a child of God, by faith, by repentance, confession, being willing to be buried in this liquid tomb, to go down into that watery grave and to rise up and to walk in newness of life, I encourage you to give your life to Jesus. You've heard his word this morning. Do you believe it? Are you willing to repent of your sins? Are you willing to confess that Christ is the Son of God? Are you willing to be baptized into Christ for the remission or the forgiveness of your sins? Are you willing to be added to the Lord's church? Not voted on, not joined, but to be added. Oh man, amen. To be added. And see what God adds you to. There you are. Man can't take that away from you. When the Lord adds you to his church, Acts 2 and verse 41 and 47. Man can't take that away from you. If you're a child of his, And somewhere down the road of life, you've stumbled, you've fallen. Maybe you haven't really believed that there's only one way to heaven. There's only one way to the gate. And you've been putting it off. You've been deciding, well, I don't really know if that is right. No, no. Take the book. Open the book. Find the place where it's written. And I promise you will find it. Where Jesus says, there's only one. Matthew 11:28-30. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labored and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul.